collection of days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
We are continuing in our series on the Holy Spirit, titled Pneuma, Life Lived in the Holy Spirit, as we think about how the Spirit is at work in our lives. And, you know, it's been kind of interesting, the different reactions that I've gotten. You know, people wondering, are we really doing a series on the Holy Spirit in a Baptist church? And some have mentioned that they don't recall a series on this, or even recall some of the topics that we're talking about. You know, it's interesting the reactions you get when you start talking about the Holy Spirit and teaching on this. And, you know, this lack of attention that goes to the Holy Spirit is not a unique phenomenon to our church either. It's something that's rather common in conservative churches. And in fact, ignorance or a lack of attention towards the Holy Spirit is so common that Francis Chan, who is one of the guys on that video earlier, that is one of the speakers that's available through Right Now Media, which is a great thing. I really encourage you to check that out. But Francis Chan, a few years back, wrote a book titled The Forgotten God. And it is an explanation of who is the Holy Spirit and what does God's Word say about the Holy Spirit and what should we understand about the Holy Spirit. If you want to do more study than what we're hitting on in this series through our Sunday morning gatherings, that would be a great book to pick up by Francis Chan called The Forgotten God. But even just that title speaks to this tendency that we have where we don't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. But so this is precisely why we are doing this series. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And yet, we've wrestled with this question of, do we even know the Holy Spirit, who the Scripture says dwells within us? And so we continue on in this series. Today, we've titled this Infused, and we're talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit. And in many ways, as I mentioned last week, this is the second of a two-part message. Last week we talked about baptism, and if you missed that, you can go out and get that on the podcast, on the website, or if you're on Facebook, you can watch the video of the whole service there. But you can pick up that message last week as we talked about baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this week we're talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I say it's essentially a two-part message because, as we said last week, there are some churches that teach of two baptisms of the Holy Spirit. And I think we believe the Bible teaches there's one baptism, but the Spirit does fill God's people in a special way to empower us for life and for ministry. And I think it's this filling of the Holy Spirit that often our Pentecostal brothers and sisters will use the language of a baptism of the Holy Spirit to speak of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And there's some confusion, I think, in that. I think it's helpful to keep the terms separate as we talk about what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what is the filling of the Holy Spirit and what does God do in that. Because there are some differences in these two teachings. And so I want to try to help distinguish for you the differences in what the Bible calls baptism of the Holy Spirit and a filling of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to talk a little bit about, so what actually takes place, what do we experience when we are filled with the Holy Spirit? And we're going to look at Acts 4 for that. But before we get into that, let's just pause and commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be gathered together. God, there's, as the kids showed us and Jenny mentioned, there is much that we have to be thankful for. And God, we so easily lose sight of that when we deal with the struggles and the strife and the stress that life brings. But Lord, we have left all of that. We are here together to seek you, to seek your truth. And so God, we ask that through your Spirit, you would speak to our hearts. And God, that we would receive from you what it is that you have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, in this idea of a two-part. Baptism, what is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we talked about last week, and filling of the Holy Spirit. I want to share some thoughts with you, and hopefully what would be a helpful chart for you to try to distinguish the differences between these two ministries that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And so this chart comes from Charles Ryrie's Basic Theology book, which is a great one-volume theology book, and I hope this is helpful for you. So a couple of things that are different. So you can see baptism by the Holy Spirit, as we talked about last week, that occurs only once, and it occurs at conversion. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A filling of the Holy Spirit can happen and occur multiple times throughout someone's life. It is not necessarily a permanent thing. It is something that can come and can go, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. The baptism by the Holy Spirit only occurs in the New Covenant for people that are from the time of Jesus forward. The filling of the Holy Spirit, we see that in the Old Testament. It happens in both the Old and the New Covenants. Throughout Scripture, we see that with God's people. In fact, an example of that, in Exodus 35, we read where it says, "Moses then said to the Israelites, 'Look, the Lord has appointed by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with God's Spirit, with wisdom, understanding, and ability in every kind of craft.'" So in the Old Testament, the Spirit was at work. And in this example, God filled this man with the abilities and the wisdom to do the craft work that needed to be done for the building of the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, all of the things that were with it. God supplied them with that ability through the filling of the Holy Spirit. A couple more things about these differences. As we talked about last week, baptism of the Holy Spirit is true of all believers. A filling of the Holy Spirit is not necessarily experienced by every believer. It can be, but it's not necessarily. There's a difference there. Another difference, the baptism by the Holy Spirit is done once at conversion, and it cannot be undone. You are baptized into the body of Christ, and there's nowhere in the Bible where it talks about losing that or that being undone. A filling of the Holy Spirit, however, can be lost. This experience of being filled for ministry and in power can be lost. In Psalm 51, King David, who writes this psalm, and it's a psalm of repentance because of his sin, and in it, he says, "Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." Now, I always wrestled with that. Like, what is he talking about there? Is he talking about losing salvation? But when you understand rightly that the indwelling presence and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which leads to the indwelling that we've talked about that earlier in the series, is only things unique to the new covenant, David clearly can't be talking about that. What David is talking about is a filling of the Holy Spirit, that God filled him with his Holy Spirit as the king of Israel to fulfill the duties that the king of Israel would have. And so it's a filling for ministry to do the call upon his life that God has. And his prayer is that because of my sin, God, please do not take that from me. Let's see, we got two more differences here. Baptism by the Holy Spirit results in a position. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. It's a position into that body. The filling of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about today results in power, in God working through you, through his Holy Spirit. Again, another Old Testament reference on this, the beginning of Samson's life. Samson, the one that was so strong because God was in him. In Judges 13, it says, "So the woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson. The boy grew and the Lord blessed him. Then the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him in the camp of Dan." And when you read the story of Samson, in Judges 13 and the following chapters. You will read again and again and again before the feats of strength that Samson did in the name of the Lord, the Spirit would come upon him mightily. And so it was this continual filling of the Holy Spirit that would happen in Samson's life that allowed him to do the things that God had called for him to do. And there is power that comes in that, and the Spirit is working in us. And then the last difference that we're talking about today, the baptism by the Holy Spirit comes through faith in Christ. Like we talked about at the beginning, it happens at conversion. When we trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and receive eternal life in his name, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit in that. It comes through faith. The filling of the Holy Spirit comes through us submitting to God's reign in our life, obeying God's ways, and in that we put ourselves in a position where we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I find this chart helpful in distinguishing between the differences of these two ministries of the Holy Spirit, the difference between baptism and filling. Now, as we think about this morning, we move forward and we press forward in thinking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. There are actually two different facets to this Spirit's ministry of filling believers with the Holy Spirit. The first is what we would call a sovereign act whereby he, meaning the Holy Spirit, possesses someone for special activity. Now, this is what we were referring to often in the Old Testament, right? Like the man who, Bezalel, who God filled so that he had the abilities to build and construct and craft all of the things of the tabernacle. I remember when I was on a mission trip in Alaska in college, and we were in this parade, and maybe I've shared some of this story before, and at the end of this parade, our group had been passing out gospel tracts during the parade, praying that God's word would go forth and not return void, of course, and trusting that God was at work in all of that. And at the end, we're at the spot where, you know, the staging area, where all the floats and stuff like that finish, and it's a little bit, it's always a little chaotic, right? Children running amok, all that kind of stuff. And we ended up not very far from this other group that was a group of a Baha'i faith camp. And the Baha'i faith is a faith that says all roads lead to God, whether it's Muhammad or Judaism or Christ or Buddha, any of those options will get you to God. That's a quick summary of Baha'i faith. And of course, we don't believe that. We believe Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we began engaging with these students that were part of this Baha'i camp for the summer and seeking to share the gospel with them. And that was the first experience I ever had where as I was sharing with someone, sharing the gospel with them, all of a sudden, the thoughts and the words just started flowing. And I was remembering verses that I had learned in Awana as a child, verses that I hadn't been spent any time on recently. And God was just bringing those things back. And it was this experience where it's like, wow, I just felt like I was actually used by God. So that's those moments when you feel like, wow, I just feel like God really used me. That's this special filling of the Holy Spirit that just happens, that God comes upon you. He speaks through you. He sends a word through you. And you have that experience of like, wow, I just feel like God was just working in me. That's the filling of the Holy Spirit. So that's the first facet of that. And we see New Testament examples in God's Word, particularly in Acts 2 and Acts 4, of this type of filling. And we're going to talk about the one in Acts 4. The second one is described as an extensive influence and control of the Spirit in a believer's life. So this is an ongoing type of filling that happens in our lives. So it's a little different than just God choosing to fill you at that moment for that ministry. This is an ongoing process. It has ups and downs. It has stages and development to it. And it depends on our submissiveness and engagement in the spiritual disciplines. We might think of this in terms of Christian maturity, all right, and our growth, or sometimes the word sanctification is used to describe this process. And as we think about this, I thought of an illustration, something that I'd come across, and it involves a glass, all right? Now, I've got this simple glass. It is empty, and yet it is not empty. It is filled with something. What is it filled with? It is filled with air, correct. Good job. You got the question right. Bonus points for you. You get to come to Thanksgiving tonight, right? All right. Now, if we think of the air in this glass, and the glass might be representative of our lives or the life of a believer, and the air would be our old self, maybe our sin nature, how might I get the air out of this glass? All right, I hear a lot of mumbling. Somebody's going to have to be a little bit louder. How might I get the air out of this glass? Fill it with something else. Now, everybody's been dying to know what has been under this, right? You want to build suspense, you just cover a simple thing with a cloth, and man, you've got everybody on edge, right? Right, so if I were to take this glass filled with air, and hopefully I don't spill water everywhere, right, Catherine? It's only water. Now, where is the air? The air can no longer be in there, right? It is filled with something else. It's filled with the water. This is an illustration of this type of filling, this ongoing filling and maturity that the Spirit does in our lives as we grow, as we continue to submit and yield to God's way, as we practice spiritual disciplines like prayer, all right, reading the scriptures, and we put ourselves in that position to be filled with the Holy Spirit in an ongoing way. And that allows us, that as we grow and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that sin nature is less and less present, because we are allowing God's Spirit to lead in that. A New Testament example of this is Paul's teaching in Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 21. Where he writes this, he says, "And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ." So see, in this, Paul gives the instruction and the command to be filled by the Holy Spirit. To be filled. So apparently it is something that we can have something to do about it if we are commanded to do it. Now, it is still in the passive, meaning it's something that happens to us, but we are to be filled. We are to seek after this. So we are to give the Spirit that control in our lives. And so this brings us to, now that we've kind of clearly understood, there's a couple of ways that the Spirit works in us, these two different facets to this. We want to go to Acts 4 and look at this experience of the church, of being filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 4. And there certainly seems to be the special filling for ministry present here, but also this other facet of filling that would describe the spiritual maturity and growth within the lives of these early believers. So Brandon read the full scene for us. We're going to hone in on verses 31 to 33 as we talk through this. And so there's four things that we're going to see that result from this filling of the Holy Spirit in this. Now, I'm not saying these four are exhaustive of how what happens in our lives as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. But in this scene, we will see these four things that are results of filling of the Holy Spirit. So the first one is this: there is a boldness that takes place. The filling of the Holy Spirit results in boldness. Verse 31 says, and when they prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. Isn't that a prayer meeting you'd want to be a part of? Or maybe it'd be actually a little bit frightening, I think. Because sometimes when God works in a mighty way, it really like, wow, okay, God has shown up here. And it can be a little unnerving in a way, but in a good way. And so Luke tells us that they were filled with the Holy Spirit following this time in prayer. Now this would imply for us that previously they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. It would point to describing the special filling, that first facet of the filling of the Holy Spirit, which resulted in bold preaching. Now this, of course, was not the first time that the followers of Jesus in the book of Acts spoke the word of God boldly. It certainly happened in chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when we see a filling of the Holy Spirit that results in powerful preaching by Peter, and 3,000 people are added to the church on that day alone that we see the word of God boldly proclaimed. But somewhere between chapter 2 and chapter 4, as they were continuing on, there was another filling that was required or that was necessary in chapter 4 for them to continue on in this boldness. And as you read the book of Acts, which I think part of the reason why God has given us the book of Acts is to teach us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is that you will see that when there is a filling of the Holy Spirit, it is closely followed by evangelism and the work that happens through that in this boldly proclaiming. But of course, this boldness can fade. In Ephesians 6, Paul, whom I think we all would argue was very bold for the sake of the gospel in his life, he put his life on the line numerous times for the sake of the gospel. But in Ephesians 6, 19 to 20, Paul asked for prayer along this line. He says, pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. So apparently Paul felt the need to ask for prayer that he would be bold. Now when I read Paul, I read a very bold person. But that boldness comes out of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And he is asking them to pray for him that he would. So there would probably be some times where he didn't feel so bold. And yet he says, pray that I would be bold. And that comes through the filling of the Spirit. Second thing we see in Acts 4 is the filling of the Holy Spirit results in unity. The first part of verse 32 says, now the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and mind. Now, this is it's hard to imagine a better description of unity than being in one heart and one mind. And so this result of the filling of the Holy Spirit can be for a special purpose. We have to recognize that the church in Jerusalem, when it started, was a persecuted church. And so there's a special purpose here as well to enable the believers to deal with the persecution that they were under, and so they needed to be unified in order to endure the persecution. I tell you, persecution is a great unifier of people, isn't it? That when there is persecution going on, you rally together. You know, look at, I don't know if this is a great example or not, but we look back at 9/11, right? And what did that do to us as a nation? The fact that there was an attack, a persecution, if you will, against our freedom. And what did it do to us as a nation? We stopped fighting, right? Everybody agreed, hey, we've got one president, we've got one cause, we've got one nation, and let's move forward together. And there's this patriotic fervor that we hadn't seen in years, decades, if you will. And now that's gone, and we've forgotten that, and what are we doing? We're not unified. We're arguing. And I share that not because the nation is the church or the church is the nation. That's not what I'm talking about. But just how persecution, you need to be unified to be able to deal with persecution. So certainly, that was part of God's purpose in this unity that comes out of the filling of the Spirit, was that they could endure persecution. But I think there is more to this, that it is a description of the spiritual maturity that comes from submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit's control in our lives. Because there's elsewhere where the Apostle Paul talks about unity and seeking it. In Ephesians 4, he writes these words. He says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to live worthy of the calling you've received with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." So Paul here says, make every effort to keep the unity. Effort. Meaning there is something I can do or things that I can be doing in my life that will contribute to the unity of the body of Christ. And if unity in the body of Christ flows from being filled with the Holy Spirit, then there's something that I can be doing that will seek to contribute to an ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit that overflows into unity within the body. It speaks to an ongoing practice of spiritual disciplines, if you will, that puts me in a position spiritually to be filled by God's Holy Spirit, that contributes to the unity within my church. And so if I am continually submitting to God and experiencing the ongoing filling of the Spirit through that submitting to God's ways and God's work in my life, that will contribute to the unity within the body of Christ. And the converse of that then I think would be true is when there is not unity and there are factions and there are arguing and stuff like that, quite likely what's happening is there's a lack of submitting to God and His ways and His work, and we are not experiencing the filling of the Spirit in the way that we should. And so the filling results in unity, and we are to work, make every effort to see that take place. Third thing, the filling of the Holy Spirit results in generosity, we see. The second half of 32, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held everything in common. What a tremendous description of the church at that time. Again, this result can come from the special filling, remembering that the church was persecuted. And so they really, really had to rely upon each other. And so this filling of the Holy Spirit, in order for them to endure the persecution, and so there was a generosity that was coming out of this filling of the Holy Spirit. But in the same way, it's something that we can experience as an ongoing practice. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, as Paul wrote about giving, he said, "You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully." See, what shapes our hearts is the Spirit's ongoing work within us. As the Spirit, as we surrender and yield to God's work, the Spirit shapes our hearts. This is the transforming work, Romans 12, 1 and 2, that Paul talks about there. And then he says, we need to decide in our heart how much to give. And if our heart is being shaped by the Holy Spirit, and we are being filled by God's Holy Spirit as part of that, then that will inform our generosity. And we will be a more generous people, willing to trust that God will provide for our needs. Last one. The filling of the Holy Spirit results in power. And we see in verse 33, results in power. Luke goes on to describe, he says, "With great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on all of them." So this is the final result that Luke describes here in this scene in Acts 4. And he's describing when he mentions that they were giving testimony with great power. Many will say, well, that points to what we would call miraculous gifts, or what some people would say are the sign gifts, because we would assume that only the miraculous gifts are a representation of God's power. But I think that's actually a misunderstanding of how God's Spirit works through what the Bible calls spiritual gifts. Each gift, no matter what the gift is empowered by the Holy Spirit as God works through His people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is where we'll be next week as we talk about spiritual gifts, Paul writes these words. He says, all these, meaning all of the gifts, are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. So whether it's a gift of helps, a gift of prophecy, a gift of tongues, a gift of wisdom, a gift of teaching, all of those gifts are empowered by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we'll talk more about those gifts next week. But for today, what we need to recognize is that there is a connection between the process of being filled by the Holy Spirit and the power of God working through our gifts. Like an athlete who trains to be more powerful, right? Our spiritual training, what you might think of as, we sometimes refer to as the spiritual disciplines, but that's a spiritual training. Our spiritual training allows us to be more filled with the Holy Spirit, and it brings more spiritual power to the working of God through our gifts. Now, this morning, as I was thinking through this, I got to the conclusion of it, and I thought, I really don't like this conclusion. And I really felt like the Lord was saying, we need to think a little bit on the application of if this other facet of the Holy Spirit's filling in our lives is something that's an ongoing thing and something that we partner with and we cooperate with, which I believe it is, how do we do that? And so at the risk of reducing down something that is a mysterious thing of trying to oversimplify the work of God in our lives, which I think there's a slight risk at that, because there is a way that God works that is beyond our comprehension. So recognizing that, I do have four things that I want to share with you that I think are helpful steps towards experiencing the Spirit's filling in our lives, all right? Again, this is not a prescription that if you do these four things, you will be superstar Christian and everybody will think you're amazing. No, that's not what this is. But I just surrender to you some things that you could do that I think would put you in a position where God is able to work more through your life. So, four things. First of all, if Paul says in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then I think that we can pray for it. So if we desire more of God, desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, let's start with praying for it. God, would you fill me with your Spirit? All right, so first is to pray for it. Second would be to pursue holiness. We go back to this, right? So, as a believer, right? This is a believer, and yet the error is there, right? There is that old self, Paul, Romans 7, I do what I don't not to do. It's not I who do it, but the sin within me that does it, right? Pursuing holiness is that process of being filled with the Holy Spirit so that less and less of the sin nature and more of God flowing through me. Pursuit of holiness. Ephesians 4:30, God says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the air of our sin nature, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. We're not losing it, but we are grieving the Holy Spirit. So pursue holiness is the second thing. Third is practicing spiritual disciplines. Reading scripture, prayer, fasting, meditating on God's word. All of these different things. In Ephesians 4:3, what did Paul say? Make every effort towards unity. There is opportunity in the Christian life to make effort in our relationship with God. Not to earn anything, not to pay anything back, but to experience more of God in our life. And last one is to now pour yourself out. You are now filled. You can pour yourself out into an empty vessel through using your gifts. Right? 1 Corinthians 12:7, Spirit is given to produce what is beneficial in the lives of others. So the works of the gifts that God wants to do through you are for the sake of others. So you pour yourself out. You allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit in order to be poured out into the lives of others as you serve them. And when you do that, you will have that feeling of, wow, this is so cool. I feel like God is using me. And that's a wonderful feeling and a great place to be. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit's work in our lives. God, that we get to be, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, part of your mission. God, part of what you are doing here on earth as you fill us, as you gift us and send us, and we pour ourselves out. God, may we be so filled that it overflows into the lives of others around us, that you would receive glory and honor and praise through our lives. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.